Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, focusing on the fifth chapter, which presents the second half of Eliphaz's discourse. In the previous chapter, Eliphaz gave a long-winded and oblique discussion, which, according to Rashi, can be summarized by Chazal's aphorism, "Ein yisurin belo avon," there is no suffering without a transgression. However, Eliphaz cannot point to any sin that Iyov may have committed that would justify the deaths of his children, the loss of his property, and the physical anguish he is experiencing. Therefore, Eliphaz veers from his subtle accusation and describes a mystical revelation in which an unknown figure reveals that man's search for meaning is futile. When confronted with confounding reality, Iyov must turn to God, beseech him for mercy, and in so doing, he is assured a brighter future. In the fifth chapter, Eliphaz continues to admonish Iyov for not praying to Hashem, as he continues to wallow in his rage and anguish. You will recall that Iyov initially accepted the loss of his family and fortune with stoic silence. But when he became afflicted with oozing boils and endless pain, he finally lets loose a barrage of curses aimed at himself, his birth, and his blind fate. Instead of turning to God, he screams at the void, at the senselessness of his tragedy that shatters his worldview and pulls the rug from under everything he had believed in. Eliphaz cannot help but feel sorry for his friend, and in the opening verses of this chapter he says, "Kana, hayesh onecha? Ve'el mi mikdoshim tifne? Ki le'evil yaharokas. Ufote tamit kina." Ostensibly, we could translate the first clause as encouragement to call out in prayer, "Krana." Perhaps there will be someone who will answer, "Hayesh onecha." However, the continuation implies a more facetious tone. Rashi presumes that Eliphaz is referring to Iyov's unbridled anger and longing for death, and consequently interprets these two verses as, quote, "Fools like you are consumed by their own anger. By cursing your fate, you only increase your pain and alienate the only one, the Midas HaRachamim, who can save you." Mitzudat David elaborates and suggests that Eliphaz is admonishing Iyov, warning him that he has angered Hashem as well as the angels or saints who might advocate on his behalf. His righteous indignation will only bring further calamity. Eliphaz continues to point out that Iyov is not the first nor the last to endure tragedy. And instead of giving vent to his frustration, he advises that Iyov submit and beg for mercy. But then Eliphaz adds a recriminating statement, suggesting that Iyov's calamity must be rooted in some deep-seated flaw. "Ki lo yetze me'afar aven, u'me'adama lo yitzmach amal." For distress does not spring from the dust, and trouble does not sprout from the ground. Human suffering is not random, and it does not spring from the earth, and indicates that there is a sin which must be uprooted. He therefore adds, "Ki adam le'amal yulad, u'bnei reshef yagbihuo." The first clause has emerged as a famous idiom, and typically means that since Adam was expelled from the Garden of Eden, he is destined to a life of toil. However, the word amal can also signify the effort for self-improvement and conscious search for truth and meaning. Accordingly, Malbim interprets this verse to mean that unlike the animals who function by instinct, a human being has self-awareness and freedom of choice and can apply his energies to improve this world and to expand his mind and soul. He's not bound by predetermined choices as the Bnei Reshef, as the fiery angels are. Rashi, on the other hand, notes that Amal in the previous verse connoted sin, and therefore he interprets this verse as man was born with a propensity to sin, unlike the spirits and angels who fly high above the temptations of earth. They have no Yetzer Hara and are never swayed to do foolish or destructive things. Accordingly, Eliphaz is telling Eov, howsoever subtly, that he cannot possibly be blameless. Thus, Eliphaz advises in a roundabout way, Ulamani edrosh el el, ve'el Elohim asim divrati. If I were you, I would appeal to God and lay my cause before him. He then proceeds to praise God, who alone makes all the natural wonders, quenching the earth with rain so that the crops will be plentiful. God intervenes in hidden miracles to foil the malicious plots of greedy men, who take advantage of drought to speculate, scheme, and raise the prices of vital food. Hashem looks out for the meek and the hungry, and confounds the plans of the smart and powerful. Loked chachamim be'omam, ve'atzat niftalim nimhara. Yomam yifagshu choshech, uchalayla yimashishu batzohoraim. Hashem traps the wise in their craftiness, and sweeps away the plans of the cunning. They encounter darkness by day, and grope at noon as if it were night. Eliphaz implies, howsoever subtly, that Eov is not as righteous or perfect as he seemed or as he imagines. Perhaps his prosperity was based on exploitative schemes, and his wealth came at the expense of the hard-working poor. Now that he has lost everything, groping in the darkness for understanding, Eov needs to turn to God, search for the moral path, trusting that if he accepts Hashem's reproof, he can and will be healed. Hine ashrei enosh yochichenu eloka, umusar shakai altim as, ki hu yachiv veyachebosh, yimchatz veyadav tirpena. Blessed indeed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also binds. He strikes, but his hands also heal. He reassures Eov that God's punishment will end and will be replaced with loving healing. For the purpose of Eov's pain is to set him on the right path. Malbim elucidates Eliphaz's arguments. Number one, humans have freedom of choice, but unbridled freedom allows the strong to vanquish the weak, monopolies to control the markets and set the prices to the detriment of the common folk. The powerful can conspire to bend the laws to their advantage. Unrestrained freedom allows the few to tyrannize the majority. Consequently, Hashem intervenes to rescue the oppressed and the impoverished. Number two, some calamities, storms, and disease are brought about by a merciful God who intends thereby to level the playing field and save human society from extinction. Number three, on an individual level, pain and illness may be caused naturally by people overindulging in sensual pleasures, giving rein to their desires. Number four, while some suffering comes to awaken a person from his stupor and spur him to introspect and repent, occasionally suffering comes as punishment to atone for sins already committed. Eliphaz ends this speech by offering hope that Eov's future will ultimately be bright and his health and happiness will be restored. He then extends his blessings to the man he has just admonished for harboring secret transgressions. Ve'yadata ki shalom ohalecha, ufakadeta navcha velo techeta. Ve'yadata ki rav zarecha, ve'tzeetzaecha ke'esev ha'aretz. You will know that your tent is secure and find nothing amiss when inspecting your home. You will know that your offspring will be many. Your descendants will be like grass of the earth. Eliphaz trusts that the wicked are punished and provides experiential evidence that confirms that sooner or later those who are evil get their just comeuppance. But Eliphaz cannot provide evidence to prove that the righteous and the innocent can be assured that they will be rewarded. He cannot provide any evidence of life after death, nor evidence of reincarnation or the final redemption. Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.